This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Living Positive Victoria is one of the great organisations in this state that does incredible work for positive people living in this state. Max Niggle, who does lots of things there, but Speakers Bureau, a whole lot of other stuff, World AIDS Day. He's going to have a chat to us about what's coming up. And Susie Malhotra, who is the acting CEO.
And longest serving member there, I think.
I think Max has been there longer. Max was born there.
I'm 19 years now.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And so, how long have you been there, Susie?
Not 19 years.
18 and a half,
no,
I suspect.
Full-time, probably about 12 years, but I used to dip in and out,
yeah,
as you know.
So Susie's acting CEO and the organisation is looking for a new CEO. So welcome, guys. How are you?
Very well. I think we're both carrying around a bit of a hacking cough, but
yeah.
We won't give it to you.
Max?
I'm extremely well, except for my very sort of cold, affected, husky voice. So.
Well, normally what we do
I'll sound sexier than normal.
Breathe your germs.
Normally what we do with Max is we turn the microphone on and he'll speak for 14 minutes.
Yes, we will, but we're not going to let you do that.
No. Have 6 minutes.
I have to defer to Susie today.
So we've got World AIDS Day just round the corner. What, a week away?
Friday.
Yeah,
it's Friday.
Wow. Okay, so what's in store this year?
Yeah.
Max.
Oh, thanks, Susie. So, first of all, everybody, the theme for World AIDS Day this year, HIV is still here and it still matters. And what's going to be happening at the Doherty Institute is a very full day of events. The first off is at 9 o'clock with the launch of World AIDS Day by the Health Minister, Jill Hennessy. Keynote speaker is Professor Jenny Hoy from the Alfred, who's been involved in the response to HIV right from the start. And she'll be talking very much about her journey as a doctor and then becoming a professor of medicine. So then we've got a networking morning tea. Then we go to a forum. Now, the community forum this year will probably prompt a bit of controversy.
Oh, we like that.
Because it's called the evolution of HIV. Now, that sounds rather nice and tame. But then the rest says from the Grim Reaper to the future.
Remember the Grim Reaper.
So, and what does undetectable or U equals U mean to people? So thinking about the early days, the awful days where no medications worked, yep, everybody's virus was going out of control, and then suddenly we're now at a point in the last 5 years, irrefutable evidence that no one can transmit HIV. So that's going to be the conversation about the evolution of HIV.
And that is one of the most significant things, I think, you know, to talk about. We've talked about it the last couple of years, but that is one of the most significant. And for people, you know, people that are still afraid of HIV, they need to understand this, don't they? People need to get.
It's amazing how this thing's evolved, though.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing. I just think of the mid-80s when I first started working in this space myself and how much it's changed. Wow.
And you know, it actually shifts the responsibility. I think for so many years, you know, people living with HIV have been the catalysts or they've been the antagonists. And I think there's a really strong case now to say that, you know, if we're talking about realistically reducing HIV transmission, then it has to be a partnership and it has to be one between both positive and negative men. So with positive men, with negative men, we've got PrEP. And, you know, we've got the evidence that that seems to work. But what we have conclusively, for many studies, in the most recent one, Opposites Attract, where something like over 10,000 unprotected instances of sex, there wasn't a single seroconversion.
Because of PrEP?
Well, no, it was actually TASP, undetectable viral load.
Oh, I see.
Getting people with HIV to adhere to treatments, but first, most importantly, actually get tested and get on treatment.
So it's treatment as prevention.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
So using that as a prevention tool
So
as well.
A combination of treatment as prevention and PrEP and a bit of safe sex actually means that we can actually stop this thing in its tracks.
Yep. It's a multi-pronged attack.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it changes the whole way people living with HIV feel about themselves as well. You know, that the stigma that already exists in the external community. But for somebody living with HIV to actually feel they have some control over what happens is, you know, it's infinite. And it's one of the most positive things that we've experienced in the sector after all these years.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So tell us about LPV, the organisation. Yes. So you're currently acting CEO, Susie.
I call it pretend CEO.
not from what I've heard. I hear you're doing a pretty good job, actually.
Oh, look, I've got a fantastic team. I think being around there as long as I have, you know, we've really grown together as a family and as a team that really shares the ideals and visions of the organisation. And we're singularly determined to actually focus on people living with HIV and to ensure that they get the best possible treatment outcomes.
So the business still goes on, that's
absolutely
what you're saying.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's we haven't stopped. We've had a lot happening. We've had a strategic plan that's just been delivered and developed. We are very excitedly adopting and endorsing very wholeheartedly the U equals U campaign. So that's going to be in all our messaging. It's going to be our presence during festival season. And it becomes the bread and butter of how we engage, support and work with our communities.
Yeah, amazing. Mm. So just reflecting on the past, Brenton was the... Brent Allen was the CEO. Mm. Was his departure expected? Did you...
Yes and no. Yeah, look, yes and no. You know, Brent was very public about the fact that he had some sort of personal health and family issues going on. And I think for anyone who works in the community, whether it's an HIV organisation or somewhere like Joy, we give our all. You know, it doesn't stop at 5 o'clock at night when you sort of, you know, close your office door. And I think Brent made a decision that he needed to prioritise some of the more private stuff that was going on in his life.
Yes.
And family. And, you know, you can't ever argue with family taking priority in your life.
No.
And it takes, you know, it takes a lot to do it. You know, it is a lot of hours. And, you know, Brent was there for, was it 5 years?
Yes.
Yeah. Max, tell us how's the, because you've got some people from the Speakers Bureau at the community launch at 9 a.m. Tell us, for our listeners, I know what the Speakers Bureau is, Tass does, everyone in the studio does, but
tell me.
Some of the listeners. Yeah, Susie goes, what do you
do? Oh, Susie needs an explanation. Yeah, she walks past my office and says, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's actually probably the very best stigma reduction intervention I've ever come across. Mm. Yeah. So tell us a little about it, Max.
Look, you've described it in a nutshell, Tass.
Oh, sorry.
So I don't need to talk, really. You can turn my microphone off.
Turn Max's microphone off. Try doing that.
Woohoo! He can speak through mud.
So the Speakers... the Speakers Bureau was established right at the height of the AIDS epidemic, as it was called back then, and it was really in response to the absolutely hysterical responses and the human rights that were going to be violated by putting us off onto an island somewhere because everybody was so scared of us. But as Tass said, it's the human face of HIV that really makes a difference to anybody when they actually hear our speakers speak. So, and think about this, that a vast majority of the public have an absolute fear of public speaking and, the nerves kick in. And then, of course, you're thinking about a positive person probably with that fear of public speaking, but then also having to disclose publicly of their HIV status. So this is like a double whammy in a way. So why do we have speakers that continue to do this? A, because we give them lots of training, lots of coaching, lots of support, and we are amongst our peers, so we mentor each other. But, you know, we speak to nearly 8,000 people a year, sometimes up to 10,000 a year. That's remarkable for people who are basically volunteering their time.
It's extraordinary, actually. An amazing effort. Amazing effort.
Now, I encourage people on December 1, it is World AIDS Day. There is a big program, worldaidsday.org.au, #WorldAIDSDay2017 or #WAD. 2017.
Can I ask a question, Macca?
Why not?
It's a question job. To it's a question to both of you. So the language has shifted from AIDS to HIV, yet we still talk about World AIDS Day.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm seeing you roll your eyes. You've obviously had this discussion before.
Never.
Never.
So why aren't we changing it to World HIV Day?
There has been a lot of discussion around that at a global level, because World AIDS Day is a global
a
day of remembrance.
Yes.
But also we've...
And the theme is a global theme as well?
No, this is a Victorian theme, right, adapted from the federal theme, but not a global theme, because UNAIDS didn't get one out in time for us. But when you think that United Nations, or UNAIDS as it's called, that branch of the UN, they still say AIDS. We can't forget that there is a million people a year still dying of AIDS. Here in Australia, we are very privileged. We have reframed how we promote the day to talking about HIV. But we cannot forget our brothers, sisters and everyone else that's affected by HIV and who is not on treatment, not on ongoing care, and who are still dying.
So it's a reference point. It's putting it into context as being a global issue rather than just a local issue.
Absolutely. And tracking how far we've come as well over the years.
Yeah, I get that.
And yes, as Max said, we're extremely fortunate in Victoria and Australia. You know, we learnt many of the lessons that other countries did, and we kind of managed to circumvent some of those.
Yes.
And, you know, we still have low rates considering the rest of the world. But I think it's very important that we continue to acknowledge the other experiences of people with AIDS and HIV.
Yeah, great.
And if we think also of our nearest neighbour, Papua New Guinea, you've got about 47,000 people there that they estimate are living with HIV. Less than a third of them are on treatment.
Yes.
Wow.
The rest will die.
Wow.
That's why we still talk about AIDS.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, that's a very somber thought, really, and it puts it into context. And I really appreciate you doing that this morning.
And that's our one neighbour. We have other neighbours, other countries that there is a similar position. Mm. And, you know, in Papua New Guinea, you've got...
You've got Indonesia,
some cultural issues that make it very difficult. In the Pacific Islands, you know, in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in Singapore, you know, you've got real issues. We've got something that we're going to ask Max to read for us shortly. But I just wondered, Susie, the big challenges I think we've faced, and I wouldn't say we've beaten them, but we've got the better of them. What do you see as the biggest challenge in HIV for the next 5 years?
Several, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do a Max and talk for 20 minutes. I'll make this 2 minutes.
Well, you've only got one.
Sorry, sweetheart. I think, look, if I speak specifically to the Victorian HIV strategy that was just developed, and the organisation Living Positive Victoria has also developed it alongside that, our biggest challenge, if we're talking about U equals U and talking about the undetectability and the untransmissibility of HIV, then what we have to do single-handedly and immediately is get as many people to test, go instantaneously on treatment, and achieve, by whatever means necessary, an undetectable viral load. Those are huge suppositions and huge dreams, I guess, in themselves. But this is all framed within a context of stigma and discrimination as well. Yep. And until we can talk openly and stop apportioning blame, stop putting people in positions where they feel that they have done something wrong, and I'm talking about people with HIV and AIDS, we've got a multi-pronged challenge ahead of us that we really, really need to buckle down and start focusing on and not get distracted by other conversations or whether treatments are good for you or whether treatments are bad for you. We know treatments are good. Let's move on. Let's start building up everyone's capacity and let's start changing the way people think.
Fantastic, Susie. Yeah. That's very wisely spoken. So just to wrap up, Susie, you're looking for a new CEO.
Yes.
How's that going?
Well, we've actually, because we've had such a busy time, we've just had the AGM, we've done the strategic plan. We've got something called World AIDS Day coming up. We've actually just taken a pause, and what we're going to be doing is starting the process early next year. So you'll start seeing some publicity and information about a new CEO. Remember, you have to work with me. So anyone who might be interested,
and with Max.
Oh God, okay, don't scare them. We're hoping we'll be advertising the job early next year with a view to getting somebody in by March of next year.
Max Niggle, Susie Malhotra from Living Positive Victoria. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.